1, verse 21-22. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. First off, let me say that it's a good thing. As a matter of fact, it is a blessed thing to be under the sound of the Word of God. Even if the very lowest motive should entice or induce people to come to hear the gospel, it's a good thing for a man to be under the sound of the Word of God. I read one time where during the difficulties in Europe and England, when the Protestants were having so much problems and difficulties in meeting to preach the word, that the opposition, the Roman Catholics, would send spies out to the services to hear these Protestant preachers preach the gospel, and they would take notes of what they heard from the preacher, certainly with the view in mind to accuse them of false doctrine. But there has been cases when the Lord met some of them in the way through the hearing of the word and through notes that they took, and saved their souls. And then I read one time about an old Protestant preacher by the name of Hugh Latimer. And he was exhorting people to come to church, not only those of his congregation, but that seemed to be a thing with him wherever he went. He exhorted people to go to church. Go to church. Go to church and hear the Word of God. And while he was exhorting people to come to church, he told of a woman who found it almost an impossibility for her to close her eyes and go to sleep, notwithstanding all the drugs that she took to enable her to relax and go to sleep. And so they were trying to find out if there was anything available that would help that poor woman sleep. And so they visited with her, and they said, "Well, we'd like to be of some help to you. We know that you need to close your eyes, and know that you need to rest a little bit." Well, she said, "If you could just get me to the parish church," she said, "I believe I could sleep there." She said she often enjoyed a quiet slumber under the sermon. Well, this old brother went on to say that if folks come to church to sleep, it's better than not coming at all. And he said, "You better watch out, because you might be caught napping. That is, you might be half asleep and half awake, and the Word of God may grab you, may stab you in the heart." So, it's good for people to go to church where the Word of God is being preached. Good. A sick man will do well to live where there's a whole lot of doctors, because it's always the possibility that he might be healed. A fellow that's in the heat of the battle, there's the possibility he might get wounded. And if a fellow comes to church where the Word of God's being preached, that is, the arrows of the gospel is being fired or shot off like a cannon, there's a possibility he might be hit with one of the arrows. So, I used to upset me when people came to church for the wrong motive, and when people came and went to sleep. That upset me. But I've come to this conclusion that it's good for people to come to church, because the purpose of coming to church is, number one, is to glorify God. And I think, secondly, the reason why we come to church is that we hope that we might meet God, or God might meet us there through the Word and speak to our hearts and help us in our difficulties and encourage us and give us a good hope. So I encourage everybody to come to church and certainly welcome people to come regardless of what their motive is. Come to church and listen to the Word of God, because I'm sure of this one thing, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Man will never be the recipient of faith apart from the Word of God. He's got to come under the sound of the Word of God. So we ought to give a raw welcome to anyone that's interested. Come for whatever reason. We want you to come. Who knows? God might meet them in the way. Well, anyhow, he says here that we're to lay apart, this has to do with all of us, lay apart or aside all filthiness and naughtiness and superfluity. Lay that aside. Lay all filthiness aside. That we're admonished. Every one of us is admonished to lay whatever sin or loathsome disease of sin that we're involved in, to lay it aside, to repent of it, to lay it aside, to put it down, to forsake it, to turn our backs on it and walk away from it, whatever it might be. If it's displeasing to God and it's a dishonor to God and a dishonor to the people of God and a dishonor to the church of God, whatever it is, lay it aside, be done with it, run away from it, forsake it, abandon it, have nothing to do with it. Lay aside, lay apart all of this and do something. Receive with meekness. Lay this aside, filthiness of the flesh, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word. The first thing that we're told in this scripture to do is to receive, not to give. You see, to receive is the door through which the grace of God comes. To receive. We're not told to give, but we're told to receive. And there's a whole lot of difference in giving in order to get and just receiving something that's given. We're told here in the Bible that we're not saved by working. We're not saved by performing certain deeds of the law, but we're saved by what? By receiving. Listen to it now. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Receive it. You see, we're not saved by giving, but we're saved by receiving. Not what we give God. It's not by some decision that we make. It's not by some proposition that we agree to. That has nothing to do with it. It's by what God gives us. That's how a man's saved. by receiving what God has done in behalf of poor, guilty, helpless, hopeless sinners. Receive it. Our Lord said He came into His own, but His own, the Jewish people, received Him not, but to as many as received Him, gave He them the authority or power to be called the sons of God. You see, we are saved by receiving what God gives us and what we receive from Him. In the hearing of the Word, there should be a receiving of it. Not just in the ear, not just in the conscience, but in the understanding and in the heart. The reception of the Word of God. You must receive the Word, or the Word cannot bless a man. The Word of God is likened unto a great feast, a great supper, with all the delicacies from all of the countries of the world spread out before us on this spotless linen tablecloth. But what becomes of this feast if a man only looks at it? It will be of no help to him whatsoever if he just admires the fine food and the wines and the various dishes, the spices and all that's involved with this great feast. If he just stands around and looks at it and maybe sniffs the aroma of this great feast, it will do him no earthly good just to look at it. He's got to partake of it. He's got to receive it. You see, we must receive the Word of God, or it cannot bless our hearts. We've got to receive it. Lay aside all this filthiness of our flesh, whatever it might be, and receive the Word of God. Not necessarily the words of man. He's got a lot to say, but it won't help a man at all. Receive the Word of God. What the Word of God says about God, to really preach and teach the truth of the gospel, a man has got to tell the truth about God and tell the truth about man and tell the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell the truth about eternal glory. Tell the truth about these things. And when we hear the truth, then we are to receive the truth, because this truth is able to save our souls. How are we to receive? We're to receive it. That's established right here. We're to receive it. How are we to receive it? Well, it says here that we're to receive it in meekness, or receive it with meekness. What does that mean? Well, that means this. It means that we're not to desire a seat in the church, the visible church. That is a seat, a judgment seat, to set in on judgment of the Word of God. Don't come to church. I already said that regardless of the motive for coming, it's good that a man comes. It's even good that a man comes to be critical. That it's better than not coming at all. It's not good. It's better than nothing. If he comes to be critical of the Word of God, although it's a terrible sin. It's a terrible, terrible sin to criticize the Word of God. To desire to come to set in the judgment seat and criticize the Word of God. Well, not to criticize the preacher all you want to, but don't criticize the Word of God. Don't set in judgment of the Word of God. Receive it with meekness. And I said, judge me if you want to, but don't judge the Word of God. Just let the Word of God judge you. Stand at the bar of God and let Let the Word of God try a man and sift a man and search a man, and then receive it. Receive the Word in meekness. Someone said that the door of heaven is open to every man and every woman and every boy and every girl who will sit at Jesus' feet and learn of Him. But a man who will take a seat higher than the Lord Jesus Christ and look down in judgment upon Him, he'll never receive the Word to the saving of his soul. Receive it with meekness. Meekness. Don't come with a know-it-all attitude. I know this and I know that. I know more than he does. And I've been studying it for a long time and I've read it through two or three times so nobody can tell me. Don't come with that kind of an attitude. Come and hear the Word of God over and above everything else. Hear the Word of God and then receive the Word of God with meekness. Receive the what? The engrafted Word. Receive the Word. There's power in the Word. Power. It was the power of the Word of God that created the heaven and the earth. Did you know that? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word spake a word. And out of nothing came all of this. It's through the Word of God that the heavens were framed and the earth came into being. It's by the Word of God that the world and all that we see and know is sustained by the Word of God. Powerful, the Word of God. It's quick and it's sure and it cuts like a two-edged sword. The Word of God separating the bone from the marrow even. It cuts. It's powerful, the Word of God. Nothing can thwart the Word of God. Nothing in time or in eternity can quell or still the Word of God. It's powerful. Word of God. Receive it, the Word. Receive not just a portion of it, but receive all of it. Every word of the Word of God. Don't come to the Bible and say, well, I like this portion, but I don't like that portion. I accept this part, but I won't accept that. I know the majority of Christendom right now, at any given time, you talk to them about the doctrine of God's election, they'll say, I don't like that part of it. And most of them will say, I won't receive that either. I won't receive that. Now, that's a bad sign, isn't it? But that's true. That's true. In the majority of churches right now, right here tonight, if you talk to them about the divine doctrine of God's sovereignty and election, that God chose a number of this human race unto Himself before time ever was, they'd say, I don't like that doctrine. I don't like that doctrine. I won't accept that doctrine. They don't like the doctrine. What I'm saying is, even if we don't understand it, receive it. In meekness, receive the Word because it has power. The power of the Word. Receive it as being able, the Scripture says, being able to do what? To save you. To save you. Not to give you a good hope that you might be saved, but it's able to save you from the beginning to the end, right now, through time, and throughout eternity, the Word of God. Receive it. With meekness, it's able to save a man. Receive the engrafted Word. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean there when it says receive with meekness the engrafted? We know what the Word is. The Word is every thought that formed a word that came from the mind of God that was penned in this book. That's the Word. The Word became flesh. The Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. We know what the Word is. Now he says, receive with meekness, humility, humbleness. Receive it like a child. Don't come with a judgmental attitude towards the Word of God, but receive it with meekness, the what? The engrafted Word. Let me tell you what this engrafted Word means, or the word engraft, what, where this is taken from. In another translation, it talks about the inborn word. Rather than using the engrafted word, it says the inborn word. But let's stick to this translation, the engrafted word. You see, when a graft is made, a graft on a tree, I don't understand all there is. I couldn't graft a tree, a fruit tree, a Jonathan apple into a golden delicious. I wouldn't know how, but there's lots of people that do know how, and I'll tell you what takes place when they graft one tree into another. When a graft is made, the first thing to do is to make a cut or a gash in the tree. Nobody, and I mean nobody, ever received the Word of God into his heart without being cut or wounded by the truth. If the Word of God has never wounded you or cut you in your heart, you've never received the engrafted Word. Well, listen, it takes two wounds to make a graft in order that the graft might be successful. Number one, you wound the tree. You gash the tree. You cut the tree. And then you wound or you cut or you gash the better tree, which is to be grafted in. What am I saying? This is what I'm saying. Is not it a blessed grafted when a wounded Savior comes into living contact with a wounded sinner? I'm saying that if we ever are saved, it'll be because God has sliced us, has cut our hearts, has stabbed us, has made our hearts bleed. He's wounded us, and he's nigh on to killing us. He's brought us down from our high and lofty opinion and attitude of ourselves and brought us down to where we are. And when he cuts us in the heart, wounds us and makes us bleed, then there's this happy union of a wounded heart and a wounded Savior coming into living contact. And what happens? They become a living union, a vital union, and a man is saved. Oh, has God ever wounded you tonight? Has he ever cut your heart? Has he ever stabbed you? Did you ever find out who you are? When he wounds you, you find out who you are. What a sight it is when you find out. Not a pretty sight. I'll tell you this, the Word of God never flatters human flesh. Nowhere in the Bible do I know of that the Word of God flatters a man in what he is in himself. Never flatters him. It tells him the truth in regard to himself. It tells him about his wayward heart. It tells him about his depraved heart. It tells him about his rebellious will. It tells him about his corrupt nature. It tells him about his hostility against God. Tells him that he has a darkened understanding. Tells him that he's blind and he can't see afar off. It tells him that he's far away from God. And tells him that he's in such a state that he won't come back and he can't come back to where God is unless God fetches him. I'll tell you, brethren, he's got to make your heart bleed. He's got to cut you. He's got to make you see yourself. As long as a man has high opinions, a high estimate of who he is, mark it down, mark it down. God the Holy Spirit has never cut him yet. He's never gashed him. The engrafted Word has not taken up its place in his heart. A wounded Savior has never come into contact with a wounded sinner. And there's no living union there. Oh, when you come to see yourself, he talks about down here, about when a man sees himself. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself. If a man ever gets a sight of who he is, that is, who he is and what he is, in the sight of what God demands of him. And who the Lord Jesus Christ is, if he ever sees that, he'll be like a dog who sees his image in a mirror and starts barking at it because it scares him to death, Pat. Be like a Paul parrot that sees himself in a mirror and tries to thinks the parrot that he sees is a rival and he tries to fight. Many a day I've sat right here. I've sat right there and hear something pecking like that, and I jump up and say, well, there's something. What is that? And I keep hearing that. It may go on for hours and for days, but one day I got to looking around, and I found out over in that window, way over in the corner, there's a cardinal over there. A cardinal bird that seen himself. Seen himself and scared himself to death, and he pecked at the window. Pecked and pecked for days he pecked at that window. And I'll tell you, brethren, if we ever see ourselves in light of the mirror of truth, as the Spirit of God reveals himself to us and what we are, our hearts will be stabbed and we'll be wounded and we'll be like that dog. We'll start barking at ourselves. We'll say, well, I don't know who that fella is. I thought I was a pretty good fella. I had a pretty good opinion of myself. But woe is me. Who'll deliver me from this body of death? You remember that woman of Samaria that our Lord Jesus Christ crossed paths with? She went away from there and she went to where she came from and she gathered a bunch of people around and she said, I got something to tell you. And they said, what is it? She said, come with me and see a man that told me all things ever I did. Boy, we ever meet God in the way and he tells us all things that we ever did. He won't have to tell us. It'll be brought to our attention. We'll see what sinners we are. Oh, I'm telling you here tonight, brethren, that we'd receive the engrafted word that's able to do what? To save our souls. Receive it with meekness. Don't receive it with a judgmental attitude, or you'll go away as empty as you came. And then he goes on, and he says in this next verse, well, which is able to save your souls. And then he says, but be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. What does he mean by being doers of the word? Well, listen, it's useless to hear unless we become doers of what we hear. We lament like the Apostle Paul, who said, they have not obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, oh my soul, he said, I've preached and I've preached and I've preached, but he said, there's still some that have not obeyed the gospel of Christ. They hearers only, but not doers of the word. You hear about repentance, you hear about laying aside, laying apart all filthiness, and naughtiness and superfluity, lay it aside. Do it. Just do it. Repent of it and lay it aside. Turn from it. Put it away from you. Repent and turn away from it. Just don't hear about it, but do it. You see, the doctor who knows how to heal the sick, that man is not a healer if he doesn't have a patient. Any man who says that he knows how to teach children but never teaches children is not an instructor of children. The Bible says to be not only a hearer of the word but a doer of the word. Listen to me. Let me tell you why we are to be not heed the gospel of Christ. The hearers only, but not doers of the word. You hear about repentance, you hear about laying aside, laying apart all filthiness and naughtiness and superfluity, lay it aside. Do it. Just do it. Repent of it and lay it aside. Turn from it. Put it away from you. Repent and turn away from it. Just don't hear about it, but do it. You see, the doctor who knows how to heal the sick, that man is not a healer if he doesn't have a patient. Any man who says that he knows how to teach children but never teaches children is not an instructor of children. The Bible says to be not only a hearer of the Word, but a doer of the Word. Listen to me. Let me tell you why we are to be not only hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Well, the world is always looking at the church. Always looking at Christian people, whether in a body like this or whether individually. They're always looking. Always looking. They want to know about you. You see, they don't want to know so much about your doctrine. They don't care about whether you teach the sovereignty of God or the doctrine of election or the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ to that poor believing sinner. No, they don't care much about that. They don't even understand that. They don't care about what you believe, but they care about what you do. That's what they understand, Bob. They understand that. They can understand you giving $100. They'll understand that. They'll understand you devoting yourself to the cause and claims of the Lord. They understand that. They may not believe and become Christians because of it, but they understand it. They understand what you're doing. They understand when you get up every Sunday morning, every Sunday night and come. They understand that. They can see that. They're not interested in your doctrine. They're interested in what you're doing. They're interested in, does that doctrine produce anything in you? That's what they're interested in. Huh? The world's always looking at the church. Not so much to hear her doctrine, but to see what she's doing. What is she doing? If the people that attend the vast congregations are all mean and false and hypocritical, then the world condemns the tree which yields the fruit. Most people do not read the Bible, but they read you and me. Huh? They read you and me. They don't read the Bible. They read you, though. You get off with a group and you tell a off-color joke to them. You cuss a little bit in some group. They know. You slip off to the beer joint and drink a beer. They know. They know. And they tell it. They tell it. They tell it to everybody. They can. You know so-and-so? You know that preacher down there? I remember one time years ago, I had a brown Ford station wagon. Brown Ford. Kind of a light brown. Wasn't too many like it. But there was another one like it that was a bread truck. And it used to deliver pepperoni rolls and stuff like that to the various places around here. And there used to be a roadhouse right up the road here, beyond Cunningham there on the right. Used to be a roadhouse there. And that fella used to stop there every day with pepperoni rolls and stuff like that. Well, I didn't think anything about it, although I'd seen that car there going by a few times. I'd seen it there, and I thought, well, it's just like mine. But I never thought a thing about it, but I was talking to an old lady one day, and she said, you was leading the singing in the church services the other morning, wasn't you? And I said, yeah. Well, she said, do you think that you're fit to lead the church singing when you frequent roadhouses? I said, probably not, but I don't know what you're talking about. Well, she said, I know. I said, you go every day up here at this roadhouse, and said your car has been seen up there, and people are talking about it, and they've told me about it. I said, well, it wasn't me. I said, you just have to trust me. You just have to believe me. I said, it wasn't me. It's somebody else. It's another car just like mine. What I'm telling you is this evening, brethren, men do not read the Bible, but they read you. They read you. You're an open book. You got to be careful. Got to walk circumspectly. Brother, you get mad around something. Someone will tell you. They'll hear about it. You get mad with your neighbors and say this and that. They hear about it. They say, well, my, we're not interested in their doctrine. Huh? Why, listen. If people that attend the churches are mean and false and hypocritical, bad shape. You see, the people who go, they say, who go to the church and who hear what the preacher says, they're no better than other people. That's what they say. Why should I come? You got a church full of people, including yourself, and you're no better, and they're no better than I am. Why should I come? Good reasoning, isn't it? Good reason. We can't. We're going to be just a hearer of the word, and not a doer only. That's what it'll amount to. We got to be doers of the word. If we're hearers of the word, then we're going to hearers of the word only. What's going to happen to us? We deceive ourselves, and it's bad to deceive anybody. It's a terrible thing for me to deceive you. That's a crime. If there's a crime that ought to carry with it capital punishment, it is a preacher deceiving his flock and telling them untruths in regard to how God saves sinners. Tell them, well, just do the best you can, be sincere, be cheerful, be kind, be loving, and hope for the best. Read your Bible, that's fine. Come to church, but just be nice and so forth, and maybe you'll make it. And tell them a lie. Crime ought to carry capital punishment. Ought to hang them. That's bad to deceive. For me to deceive you, it's bad for you to deceive me. But boy, it's far worse for you to deceive yourself. See? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Thinking you're right when you're 100% wrong. Deceived yourself. Deceived yourself. Now I'll tell you the man's deceit. A man who's a hearer of the word, over a number of weeks, months, or even years, he hears the word, he hears the word, he hears the word, but he never obeys the word. Mark it down, that man's lost. And you know what they'll put on his tombstone, or what they could put in his tombstone? He knew his duty, but he wouldn't do it. He knew his duty. He heard. But he wouldn't do it. Well, he goes on. He says, he beholds himself. He beholds himself. And what does he do? He goes his way. He does not obey the word of God. He goes his way. He's just a hearer of the word. A lot of them like that. They hear the word. They behold themselves. But they go their way. And they straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I don't know how this applies to you and I, but I know this. It is hard for me to understand how a man can forget what he was once he sees himself as he is. But it's possible that a man might forget just how mean and cantankerous and ungodly and unholy and corrupt and dead that he was. And he beholds himself and he goes his way and he forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh, whosoever comes under the word of God, the perfect law of liberty, and receives it and obeys it, listen, and continueth therein. Brother, it's not just a starting, it's a plowing on. It's a finishing. It's not the man that starts that receives the crown. It's the man that starts and finishes that receives the victor's prize. Eternal life is promised to those that hold on and hold out faithful unto the end. That's who it's promised to. Hey, go! I know people go 10, 12 years. Here's the word. Look like this. Solid, grounded in the truth. Appreciate what you have to say. Seem to be enthused about it. But the first thing you know, they forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his efforts, in his deeds. Oh, deceiving yourselves. Paul said, they have heard it, and in a measure they have appreciated it, but they haven't obeyed it. Oh, may God help us lay aside these things. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, the wounded Savior to our wounded hearts, which is able to save our souls from beginning to end, now through time and eternity to come. Don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. It's to the hearer and the doer that the promise is given. May the Lord bless us. Let's stand.